the gentleman that leads your Oklahoma Baptist Convention, Brother Jordan. And when he came up, he said, "Oh, you know, this is Gene's daughter." That's my daddy. He said, "Honey, I moved you into the seminary." You see, he didn't know when that little six-year-old snot-nosed little girl was running around under his feet while he was trying to put that bunk bed together in that two-bedroom apartment, that what he was really doing was ministering God's grace and love to a kid. He didn't realize that that woman one day would come back to serve here with you all, to just teach you to party with the purpose of leading people to Jesus. You see, he was throwing a housewarming party, even as he moved to sin. It was in those days that God was really beginning to build the faith journey that I've been on, because my dad went to seminary with no job. Four children. Does that hurt anybody's feelings right now? Because I'm going to tell you what, girlfriend, it was hurting mine. My daddy took a huge step of faith in going to the seminary, and it was through the hands of people like Alan Day and Anthony Jordan that God provided food for my family. You see, he didn't realize what he was doing, but God knew. You know, in the book of Colossians, it tells us in chapter 3, verse 17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Now, is that not the coolest thing? Because nobody would look at moving bunk beds as a holy and anointed thing. But boy, doesn't it reap cool returns? I love it that when I looked at that man last night, I didn't see him as your great leader of Oklahoma Baptist. I looked at him as a man that saw a need and got up and did something about it. Girls, there's some of y'all out there that you just need to see the need and get up and do something about it. And God's brought me all the way from Alabama just to tell you this. God wants to use you. God wants to use you, and it doesn't matter where you are or what situation you're in today. God says, "I've got a plan for your life." You see, one of the girls this morning, Leanne, asked me, she said, "Why did you write a book called Party with a Purpose?" And I said, "Honey, I didn't write the book. God just did it in my life." Because here's the truth. It was a point in my life where I had my hands on my hips towards God. You ever had one of those times? I was ticked with him. Anybody else there with me? God was not doing what I wanted him to do when I wanted him to do it. And I was pretty ticked off at him. And with my hands on my hips, I was saying, "God, you just don't understand." You ever been there? You see, here's the reality. God had moved us, my husband and I and our four children, from our place of ministry and took my husband and put him in a new place of ministry. And it was a one-person job. He was the head of the Christian Studies and Philosophy Department. Sounds really impressive, doesn't it? At a university in Mississippi. And I thought, "But God, how about me? What's the deal here? God, you have put me at home homeschooling four children. Do you not understand? I need a ministry." Some of y'all out there need to say, "Yes, ma'am, I know where you are, girlfriend," because I've been there myself. And God is saying, "Paige, I want your willingness and your obedience." Somewhere around a year or so earlier, I had prayed, "God, give me a passion for your word. Lord, take away anything that might get in the way of my relationship with you and a true love and passion for you." Do not pray it if you don't mean it, girl. Because you know what God did? He took away my crutches. He took away my crutches, my church leaderships, my things that I always felt comfortable in. And he took away, he even took away my house. Now, I'll tell you what, I got kind of frustrated with that. He moved me to a whole new city where I knew nobody. And it was during that time that literally God was cultivating relationships between he and I. But he also cultivated relationships between me and my kids. And as God began to do those works, and as I continued to walk in that, and literally every day, y'all, my best friend was Beth Moore. No, she wasn't there. It was her Bible studies. And every day between Beth Moore, God, and me, we just took care of business. And it was there that God began to feed me. And then I went to a wonderful church where I began to do K-Author Ministries and learn precept upon precept about how God just wanted to fill me with the Word. And over and over and over, God just literally was feeding me the Word so fast, because that was all I had to cling to. Girls, if I were to ask you today, do you have a passion for God's Word? Do you love it? Not do you read it and do you obey it. Do you love it? Truthfully, some of you would have to say, no. I check it off the list each morning page. I'm doing the right things. But girl, do you love Him? Do you have a true passion for Him? Because that's exactly what He put in me. As He began to just feed me on the Word and the Word alone, that became my mainstay. But I still was frustrated with Him because I felt like an island. I felt like the only adult conversation I had was with God and Les, my husband. And I told him, there has got to be a change because, you know, I'm a woman that likes people. And I love my children, but after I have said no, quit, stop, and don't so many times, I'm tired of them. How about you? And as a mom that was homeschooling at that time, though I was teaching them, I just needed adult interaction. I found it at the church. Of course, I had been in church since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. My mama had me in there, I mean, you know, just about as I came out of the womb, you know what I'm saying? And so church was such a secure place. And yet God had taken away my position. As I began to study and as I began to make friends at this church and no longer had a position, but people loved me because who I was. And they respected me because of my walk with Jesus Christ. God began to show me a whole different side where laity truly does lead because of their passion for Jesus. Girls, there's some of y'all that need to grasp hold of that. And understand that the reason maybe that you're not seeing God work in a mighty way is because maybe you leaned on that position a little. Maybe what God is saying is, lean on me. Lean on me. It was neat because during that time, I was able to serve on our women's ministry team. And my leader saw a little potential within me. And she said, Paige, would you like to go with me to a women's program there at New Orleans Seminary? We'd be there for 3 days. You'd be away from the kids. We'll eat out every meal and you'll go and learn. I thought, away from the kids, baby, I'm yours. Yes, let's go. But I kind of checked up a little bit when she told me the class we were going to be doing was lifestyle evangelism. I don't know how you feel about evangelism, but can I just tell you this? When people used to say evangelism to me, I would go, ooh. Now, I know that's probably not a real cool thing to say at an evangelism conference. But it's true. Because when I thought about evangelism, I thought about going out and knocking on doors and face-to-facing folks. And for those of you that enjoy that kind of thing, you know, that in-your-face type thing, go, girl, I am all for you. But for the rest of us, it kind of get, ooh, feels. Hang on, there's a place for us too. As I drove down there, I thought, God, why do I have to be guilted for 3 days? Some of y'all know I'm telling the truth right here. God, do I have to learn another program? Mm-hmm. Honey, I've been able to spell F-A-I-T-H for quite some time. I can tell you the Roman road. I can go all kinds of different directions with you. But there's still fear. You know, it was during that week, though, that God took me to the one place He had already been preparing. The Word. Just the Word. And all week long, Jay Martin taught from a new Bible study she had just written called Heart Call. And every one of the things she taught were verses of Scripture. I was saying, oh, Lord, this is so good. Oh, God, You are so good. Of course, Jay asked from the very beginning, why did you come and take this class? With my sweet spirit, I said, because God made me. I don't even like evangelism. Now, you don't tell the head of the North American Mission Board's women's ministry stuff that you don't even like evangelism when that's all she came to teach. You know what I'm saying? But I was, and I did. But as God began to teach me, first of all, that it was not up to me, that the Holy Spirit went before me, and He was the one that prepared the heart of those people, that literally the Bible says that He will give you the right words at that time. Some of y'all may be like me. I'm thinking, can we just have it a day ahead so I can practice those? But God says, the Spirit will give it to you at that time. Not only that, He says, it is not up to you to convict them. Some of y'all that's been trying to nag people into Jesus, honey, hang on. It's not up to us. The Holy Spirit then inside of them is the one that convicts of sin. And He is the one that literally does the work that turns their spirit. And only the Holy Spirit can save. So it's not up to us what the result is. Our responsibility is to just tell. I thought, well, that's not tough. As long as the Holy Spirit's going to give it, as long as all I have to do is let Him do all the work, well, I'm good with that. Not only that, she began to teach us that every conversation is a possibility to share something with somebody about Jesus. And it doesn't always have to be the whole enchilada. Some of y'all that like that, you know, Spanish food, you kind of like that Mexican stuff, the whole enchilada. You don't have to give them the full meal. Sometimes it's a word. Sometimes it's just a hug. Sometimes it's a smile. And sometimes it's just a listening ear. And when the time is right, you tell them the reason for the hope that's within you. And you do it with gentleness and respect. You see, guys, that's what God was asking us to do. He's not asking us to learn another program. He's not asking us to learn an entire new thing of verses. He's not asking us to go out and make it happen. He's asking us to be willing to be used and let Him make it happen. I came back to Jay at the end and I said, oh, girl, this is me. She looked at me and she said, are you the same woman who walked in here the first day and said, I don't do evangelism? I said, yeah. Jay, I realize that it's not about going to the church and doing another program. It is about being who God wants you to be. Living it every day as you wash pots and potties, as you do carpool, as you play at the park, as you sit at the ball field for that 15th game that week. Well, maybe it wasn't 15 that week, but it seemed like it, didn't it? As you're just going through the day, as you're sitting at the hospital with someone who has somebody in need, as you pray, as you build bunk beds. Guys, it's as you go. And when the Bible says, literally, go ye therefore, He wasn't talking about on Tuesday night going out and knocking on the door, although that is effective as well. But what He's talking about is, when you get up this morning and you got to run to the Walmart, girl, that's your mission field. When He tells you to put on your blue jeans, that is your mission attire. And God is saying to you, whatever your deal today, that is your field. That's where I want you to plant. If you're a teacher, it's the children. If you're a person that works in a work environment where maybe it's accounting or something like that, it's the people that God brings into your office. And if you're a nurse, it's the one you minister to. And maybe you just rub the head of that one and say, God's going to give you strength. You see, guys, every conversation can count for eternity. As I drove home and repented for my pitiful attitude, I said, okay, God, I get it. But now what do you want me to do? And I said, God, I don't have any more time. My four kids, it's all I can do to get us to church on Sundays and on Wednesday nights. Lord, I can't afford another day out of the house. Lord, what do you want? And that still small voice within me just said, party with the purpose of leading people to Jesus. I said, party? Oh, God, surely you didn't say party, because I can do that, God. I could party. He said, pray. Pray and just think about who is it that I lay on your heart that needs a touch that day. And once you've prayed, then invite. Once you've invited, prepare. And once you've prepared, then, girl, get out there and get with it and have fun. You know, some of the problems here, some of you people, you hadn't had fun in so long, you don't even remember what it was like. Some of you who have children, you have been responsible for so long, you're no fun anymore. And girls, we just need to loosen up. Literally, I went home and I began to plan my first party. We had tea parties. We had Easter egg hunts. We had all kinds of things. And the coolest thing was when we would have those parties, people would come into the house and literally I would sit down and look eye to eye at them and we would talk. The girls, we good at that, aren't we? I thought, God, this is good. But as I talked to them, I found out where their needs were. You know who else did that, don't you? That's what Jesus did. And if you come to the breakout session I'm going to do later, we're going to talk about how Jesus did that and how now we can do that. But here's the deal, guys. As I sat down with them, I heard them. I saw them. And I tried as best I could to meet their needs. We had kids saved. We had folks that had dropped out of church, begin to go to church again. We had folks that wanted to do a Bible study. I did a Bible study, and we only had two people. I looked at God, and I said, "You must have messed this up." Y'all ever been there? God, it was only two. And in Baptist circles, that is a disaster. But of those two, one of the girls had two kids, and both of them were saved during that Bible study. The other lady who had been in church had dropped out of church, and today she and her husband serve on staff. God looked at me and said, "Girl, I don't count like you do." There's some of y'all, you just need to get eye to eye with God, and He just needs to speak right at you and say, "You don't count like I do." I found that my first mission field was literally in my house. Literally with my kids. And I began to play with my kids. Some of y'all need to play with your children again. Just get in the floor and play. Leanne, I love what you said yesterday. They built on this new addition, and they have this room now that has some foosball tables and that type of stuff. And she said, we had family game night. And our daughter looked at us and said, "Oh, I love it. We've played. We've had fun together." Guys, how many of you, your kid just needs to look at you and say, "Can we play?" And you stop long enough to play. That was my first mission field. That was my Jerusalem. My neighbors that literally lived around me became my second field. My Judea. My community as a whole became my, you know, my whole country there almost. And then, you know, as God began to conquer those areas in my life, He sent me to the uttermost parts. But it wasn't until I was obedient to lead my family. And if you are not leading your family, guys, that's your first mission field. And maybe you just need to have an Easter egg hunt. Or a Valentine's party. Or a fabulous friend party, and let them all invite a friend. And then share with them about your best friend. I don't know where you are, but I know this. God has a purpose for your life. Maybe He just wants you to build a bunk bed. Or stand in the gap for somebody you may never see. I just praise God I finally got to see some of you girls. Because I've prayed for you. I want to tell you about one party in particular. Because it came at the end of a very difficult time. We had moved to a new home. And we had been there for about a year. During that year, we had had all kinds of pool parties and back-to-school parties, and I had been mining the field. This is the same area where I had the Bible study with only the two women. So I had been working in that field, but you know what? In July, I had a hysterectomy with complications. Now, can I tell you, anytime you have a major surgery, that's bad. But if they say that complications thing at the end, that's really bad. And after 10 days post-surgery, I began to bleed internally. And I'm a fix-it woman. I don't know what kind of woman you are, but I'm thinking with duct tape and a glue gun, I can fix the world. And we've never had money. I'm a pastor's wife, a pastor's daughter. I've never had a dime to my name, hardly. And so going back to hospitals has not been an option most of the time. And so that day, I had just been laying down, and I just felt awful. Just felt yuck. No energy, no strength. Just yuck. But somebody was coming over late in the day, and so I felt like I had to get up. So as I got up and began to move around, blood began to leave my body unbelievably. And it was almost as though somebody had turned on a faucet, and it just began to pour. And being the fix-it woman, I was going to fix it. You know, pressure on a wound stops the bleed. Not if it's internal, honey. You don't even know where that thing is. And here I was pressing. I'm thinking, I'm going to make it stop. I didn't. And literally, in my own bathroom, was bleeding to death. My husband wrapped me up, and he took me back to the hospital. But during those moments of literally being out, I began to realize I was dying. Now, I don't know how many of y'all have died lately, but can I just tell you kind of what happens with that? Literally, as you lay there, your mind is so aware of everything going on around you. And in your mind, you're thinking, I'll get myself together. Hang on, I'll get myself together. Because remember, I'm the fix-it woman. I can get myself together. I can fix it. But you can't. And you really realize how out of control you really are. And that God controls every breath and every drop of blood. And as I lay there and I kept thinking, I'll get myself together, I could hear their voices and I wanted to interact with them, but I couldn't. When it dawned on me, I really was dying. And that I was literally leaving my body, I began to pray. You see, I was a believer. I knew Jesus Christ. I knew that I would go to heaven. But there's some fear involved at that point. And as I thought about that, I thought, oh, Lord Jesus, if there is anything between you and me, oh, God, take that away. Cleanse my heart. Prepare me to see you because I'm ready. I want to see you, but I don't want anything between us. I began to pray for my children. Three of them knew Jesus, but that little girl of ours, at that time she was about 6 years old. She was still real young, and she had not professed Jesus as her Savior. So I just prayed, oh God, dog her until she comes to you. I began to pray for my husband. And I asked the Lord, please, Lord Jesus, give him a godly wife. One that will love my babies because they are so young. Oh Lord, give him a godly woman. But don't let her wear my clothes. Actually, I added that later, but it's a good thought, you know what I'm saying? But I prayed for them. I prayed for them because I wanted more than anything for them to glorify God and to come and meet me in heaven. You see, at that point, it didn't matter how many goals they scored. Didn't matter if she was in the finest dance class. What mattered was her relationship with Jesus. What mattered was their relationship with Jesus and that they would follow Him. It was at that point, though, I began to pray and ask God to just give me comfort. It was verses of Scripture that came back to my mind, verses I'd learned when I was a child. Verses like, what time I'm afraid I will trust in Thee, in God whose name I praise. Verses like, to be absent from the body is to be. Girl, if you are dying, that's an important one. You want to know that. Verses like when Jesus turned to the thief on the cross and he said, today you will be with me in paradise. Today is a relative word at that point. You want to know where you're going. And there were just so many verses that I recalled, verses that I had put in because during those days of just God and me, he just filled the reservoir of my heart. Verses like Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It wasn't sticks, girls. It was literally the word that were the rod and the staff that comforted. You see, I share all that with you because my friends had been there during that whole experience. And needless to say, I did get better. I'm a healthy heifer today. So y'all go ahead and breathe. It's okay. I did get better. They got me to the hospital. They packed the wound. They did all the transfuse stuff that you have to do to get better. And after 6 months, I was back to some form of normalcy. But it took 6 months. And my friends ministered to me during that time. It was also during that 6 months that God chose to put us back in a local church. Yay, thank you, Jesus. I was so excited. And then God said, in Alabama. And I thought, Lord, where? It was so neat, though. Because the last thing God told me he wanted me to do in that house was to have a party. And I did. With boxes packed up, I gave an It's a Wonderful Life party. Complete with Jimmy Stewart. Of course, he was there by video. We watched the movie. We ate simple refreshments. But I once again had an opportunity to share with my friends what made my life wonderful. And it wasn't all of the recognition of being a speaker or any of that type stuff. It wasn't about being a mom. Guys, what made my life wonderful was my relationship with Jesus Christ. And whether I lived or whether I died, I knew where I would be. I shared that with my friends, and there was a woman that kind of sat to the side over here, and I had shared with her my story that I just shared with you, and she began to ask questions. Questions like, how did you know for sure? What did you experience? What did you see? What did you feel? And after about the 11th or 12th question, I just want to say, Miss Sarah, hang on, girl, you know? But I tried to answer how I knew for sure that I would go to heaven. I tried to answer for her all of those questions. A week later to the day, the phone rang. You know what I'm fixing to tell you. Miss Sarah had died. You see, I think the reason God put me on Laney Lane is so that I would tell. So that I would invite. So that I would prepare the way. So that He might plant the seed. And He might get the glory. You ask, was she a Christian? I don't know for sure. All I know is I planted. All I know is I watered. And all I know is God called me to share. Now let me ask you, who's your Miss Sarah? Who is it that God's brought into your life because they just need to hear? I don't know. But I know this. If you are willing, He will help you to be able to do whatever it takes, including partying with the purpose of leading people to Jesus. You see, after I got to Alabama, this woman called and said, can we publish your book? I said, what book? She said, all the party ideas. And I said, honey, I'm not a writer and that's not a book. She said, oh, but it can be. And now it is. I wrote down all the ideas, everything from invitations to decorations to the devotions I used to the food literally that we cooked because I like to be creative and we made up new recipes and all kinds of things. It's all in the book. But it's not about what I wrote. It's just about what He was doing. I encourage you this. Be willing. First of all, trust God. No matter how much you put your hands on your hips. Trust Him. He knows what He's doing. Second of all, know that God created you just like you are for a purpose. With your gifts, your talents, your abilities. Even if all you can do is pray or build a bunk bed. Or greater things than that. And last, bloom wherever you're planted. Not just grow. Bloom. Because God has a purpose for you.